My name is Marcellus Thomas. I was born in Texas, a place called Mod, Texas, in 1913. And I was there, I remember Blind Lemon when he used to come down from Waco, Texas. He come down there to play. He used to play on Main Street there between Manigold Store and Ed Wilson Restaurant. I was quite a young lad at the time, but I remember him. He used to sing a song about he walked from Dallas cleaning the Wichita Fall. And then he had another one he sang about, "There's a mean black snake been sucking my rider's tongue." I remember Lemon at the time when he used to come down and walk in Big Creek. Big Creek was dry at the time, and there'd be so many people up on the side of the banks that they had to get on the side of the banks. In other words, they couldn't nobody see him because people was taller, so they walk up and down that creek with this barbecue, what they call the 19th of June. Just him by himself walking down the ditch, and he's continually pitching money to him down there. And sometimes guys would have to get down there behind him and get the money to put it in his cup. But sometimes he would come there and sit there all day long, and he could sing practically all day if he wanted to. And Blind Lemon was natural. He was natural born blind, because I remember, see, my daddy was a barber there in 1918, 1920, 1923, and 1924 at Patterson Barbershop. That's where Lemon would come a lot of time.
Was this in Waco?
This was in Mott, Texas. Waco was 18 miles up the line on something we call the Cotton Belt. One time it was the INGN. And Lemon would come down from Waco on the Saturdays and Sundays and play that much, you know, when he didn't go other places. But at that time, he sung without a microphone. He didn't have no such a thing as a mic. He just walked and picked his guitar. He had a voice like a lion, I guess, and he was a wonderful fella. And he really could play, and everybody went out for his singing. So I learned later that he had died somewhere in Chicago. You think he froze to death, they told us in the narrative. But I knew him well. He was a personal friend of ours.
Do you want to say something about these outdoor picnics that they used to have, or who they, you know, what kind of music they would have?
Well, the outdoor picnics they would have, they'd have something we call them suppers at that time. And it would start on Friday nights and last till Sunday. And they'd just hang up lanterns, and they'd have a piano there, probably, and the guitar was about all they'd have. And they would sell sandwiches such as jackrabbit, and they'd sell fish and probably chicken and stuff like that. And they'd probably have homebrew, that stuff down there they'd have. But they wouldn't have over two fellas to play. Sometimes Lemon would go out there with the piano of the guys he knew, but the most of the time he didn't need nobody, because Lemon was a drawing card. That man was wonderful. He could pick anything, anytime, and everybody liked him. So the name Lemon was what the people want to know. They'd pay to go in there. Sometimes it wasn't but 35 cents to get in. Sometimes it's 2 bits to get in, but there's more 2 bits that's come by that place than you ever seen, because they want to see Blind Lemon. And Lemon, as I said, he was actually bone blind. He was bone blind. So you go, we know him. I used to lead him around. One time in 1924, Lemon come down from Waco, and he give a man a $10 bill to go buy him a pair of shoes. And the guy went and bought a pair of shoes, what I call is hobnails. And it looks like an old army shoe now, but it had a strip across the toe. They call it a hobnail. And by me knowing him, I come by, and he sent me back to get the man, and I got the man and brought him back. And the guy said, "Well, them is shoes, ain't he?" He said, "But I don't wear these kind of shoes. So I want a dress shoe." And at that time, in 1924 and 5, he was wearing a shoe that they call a Dallas flat. A shoe that ran up in the front, the toe stood up all the time, and had a seam in the middle. That was a popular shoe. They called it the Dallas flat. Well, along about that time, we left from down in that area. We went to Dallas, and that's when I was always crazy about music, and I liked musicians. So I ran into Texas Examiners, which was one of the greatest blues singers of all time. Him and Lemon was really great, but I think they were sweeping the country at that time. Which Lionel Johnson was a good blues singer, but this was a different type of blues. Texas Alexander's the only man that I knew that could sing a song and make a record tremble on the Victrola. They didn't have hi-fi like we got now. If they had, I guess they probably had to hold the record down. That guy had a voice. But then he would tremble that record on the machine. I remember several of Texas songs. One of them he sung, I think, got him into a little difficulty one time. It was called the Bohawk Blues. Well, yeah, a couple of verses of it. It went like this. So you remember, because it says, "Oh, tell me, pretty mama, how you want your rolling done. Say you know your face to the ground and you noodle up to the song." Should I sing that other part of it, you think, or not? Not put that other part in there. "She's got a little bitty leg, gee, but below her thigh. She's got a little bitty leg, gee, but below her thigh. You know she's got some money yonder that works like a bohawk's eye. You know my baby got some money yonder that works like a bohawk's eye." Now that's the record that he put out in 26. I think he had a little difficulty about it, but I remember I liked the Texas. So I used to follow him all the time there. And that was on Central Track because I knew him. See, I got a chance to see Texas. And I got a chance to see Blind Blakes. Oh, I got a chance to see Bessie Smith, Lonnie Johnson, Frank Stokes, Jimmy Rogers, and all several of the guys. Some of them I have almost forgot. And that's where I learned that yodeling and liked that yodeling by Jimmy Rogers. Jimmy Rogers was a wonderful singer. He was another.
You want to tell something about where you first saw Jimmy Rogers?
In Sylvester, Texas in 1925 at a place you call Sylvester, Texas, out in West Texas on a track you call the Oran track. I don't know, it run back up in the country there someplace, but it run to a place you call Sweetwater and come to Sylvester, went to Royston, went to Macaulay, Hamlin, all out through the country there. It went way back up in there somewhere. They call it the Orant Route. That's when I took a notion to listen and learn to like Jimmy Rogers. Jimmy Rogers was a wonderful yodeler. But the people here yodel today.
Where'd you see him? What sort of club was it?
Well, it wasn't exactly say a club. It's just like a place where the carnivals come, you know, like a carnival come, and they have a carnival and they'd come in town, and they different people would appear with that carnival to draw a crowd. Mm-hmm. See, that's how we got a chance to see him. It wasn't a place. God just out in the open at the carnival.
What were some of the songs he sang?
Jimmy Rogers sung a song about I'm gonna buy me a shotgun with a great long shiny barrel. And I'm gonna kill that round that stole away my gal. And then it yodel. Yodelity, yodelity, yodelity. That's how I liked it, his yodeling. Yodeling is good now, but the people makes it different than what it was at the time that he had. But I got a chance to see all the musicians.
Who was the other fellow during that circus, the other singer, the other?
A fellow you call Frank Stokes. He was an unusual type of guy. He was likable by everybody, and his music was likable, and he could play a guitar in a different style than anybody I ever seen. But I forgot most of his songs. It's been quite a while. I was pretty young at the time. I don't know, but I remember Frank Stokes singing. He was really wonderful. My people have some of his records now, but I couldn't get them away from him for nothing. We had another fella. At that time, used to preach, they called him Reverend Gates. He preached a song about the devil and the flying machine. You remember J.M. Gates? And he had a guy that prayed for him all the time. They called him Deacon something, they called him. But I mean, it was wonderful, too. I never got no more of their albums than anything.
So. You said something about Lillian Glenn.
Lillian Glenn Smith. She used to sing that at the Harlem Theater. It was on Central and Swiss Street, and then later it moved on Elm and Central. And she's a minister now. She's preaching here someplace in Oakland. I know I can get in contact with her, but I don't know just the address right now. But she's a preacher now. Her husband was a preacher, too, and he passed here a few weeks ago.
How long did she play blues, or when did she?
I don't know how long she played, but she stayed in the blues field quite a while. But I don't know exactly the date that she... song. I heard one of her records here not long ago out of the K.R.E. Berkeley. K.R.E. Berkeley has some of her recordings now, and they play them every morning by 3 o'clock, and quite naturally we'd be asleep. unless we get up to get a drink of water or something, then that's where we might hear. You know, you're not real sleepy. You turn the news on to see what you can listen at, see? And one reason why I keep the news on a lot of times, I have made one recording or so myself, and I like to listen to hear things to find out what's happening. You know, sometimes you can get them late in the morning, sometimes you get them early, see? So I keep the radio on about half the time.
Mention something else about when you saw Texas Alexander. You see
the Texas Alexander, last time I saw him, it's funny to me. That guy really sung, and I mean, he made some real records, and he was a really good singer. And the world knows him that know he could sing. But it's something funny to me. I don't know. He just didn't sing no more. Last time I saw him, it was in 1942. I was in Dallas, Texas on Sensor and Element. He was singing a song about Tom Moore and them four more brothers. And Texas Alexander had quit his singing, and he was working at the Texaco service station down on Swiss Street. And I used to follow him at night, around sometime for 2 hours at night, just walk up and down the track with him to hear him sing. And he knew me, and quite naturally, he didn't mind if I go along with him, and he'd put a few pennies in my pocket too, you know, and I enjoyed that. And I always liked music. But that's the last time I saw Texas, and that was in 1942, Dallas, Texas.
Could you get that song together, that Tom Moore?
I could get a little bit of it, but I can't remember the whole works. But anyway, I could give you an idea about the way it went when Texas Alexander sung it, he said. Mr. Tom Moore, I declare the man I so like. Now if your little woman quit you, you know, Mr. Moore will go and bring her back. Every morning for your breakfast, Mr. Moore would give you ham and eggs. But your liable to get up so soon Monday morning you'd get the mule by his hind legs. He used to whoop you with a pistol out of clay, beat you with a single tree. And I could hear them people crying, Lord, have mercy on me. But I love Mr. Moe, man. I declare he's the meanest man I ever seen. Mr. Moe said, if you keep yourself from the graveyard, I declare I'm going to save you from the pen. And I don't remember the rest of the words of it, though, but I'd have to write it out. But I can get the words and get the name of the brothers. There's four brothers of them. But anyway, he said, Mr. Tom Moore and them four more brothers, the meanest men I ever seen, say they done called Kaufman County, you know, them fools done fenced it in. But I...
Could you repeat that line once more? What county does that refer to?
Let's see what the county is. Kaufman County. Say, Mr. Tom Moore, I declare the meanest man I ever seen. You know them fools and bought Kaufman County. I declared it and fenced it in. I don't know exactly. I'd have to get the script, you know, because I can't remember. It's kind of hard. It's been a long time since I heard it. And from 42 of them to now, it's been quite a while. But I got it written out someplace. I could get it and write it all out and get it prepared together and let you have it and you'd see how
when was the last time that you saw Blind Lemon?
The last time I saw Blind Lemon was back in 19 and about 23 or 4. That's the last time I saw Blind Lemon Jeffs. He was at a place he called Mott, Texas. And he used to sit on Main Street between Manigo Grocery Store and Ed Wilson's Cafe. And yes, my next door was a hotel they called old man Abram. He was a fella had been there for years. And he'd go there sometime and sit and pick. And he'd draw a crowd from there. That was in 23 and 4. That's the last time I saw them. But all this is true to the best of my knowledge because we really knew him. He was my dad's best friend. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the other singers? You mentioned this guy, Willie, who played guitar with...
His name was Willie. I don't know the last part of his name. It's been so long I forgot it, but I would never forget his first name because the guy really could pick a guitar, but he was there on Central and Elm. But the first his name was Willie because, see, Texas, Lonnie used to pick for Texas, Lonnie Johnson. But then I don't know what happened, but he got this fella named Willie. I don't know what it was, but he could really pick a guitar. And he had a... I think it was either a 9 or 12 string guitar that he was picking for Texas. I think it was 12 string he picked.
You know so many people, and you also mentioned this Central Tracks. What area did that include?
Central Track was down in, down mostly on the odd edge of town, I'd call it. down in there. Of course, they tore it all out. Now I learned that they have built freeways and things there, and it hadn't moved. So I don't know what place they went. But at that time, Central Track was just like a little Harlem, like little Harlem was up in New York, you know. You could go down there and practically find anybody, see anything, anywhere, anything you want to see. Musicians, I seen guys playing music with spoons. I seen guys blowing their thumbs down there, blow their hands, you know, the thumbs. It'd be rub bowls. They'd make music out of anything. Those guys was musicians down there. I don't understand, but they could really do it. And I was down there sometimes all night long just to watch them. They could dance. They could do any kind of dancing, any kind of instrument they could play. And I got a kick out of going down there. And that's how come Texas and all of them would go down there and never go.
What streets did that include? That
well, that included Central Track and Elm Street. That's what it was. Of course, it was main, there was business all up and down there. I was down up and down Swiss. But Swiss and Elm Street and Central Track was about the populace it was there, because that's where all the music, the buildings and business places was located. I guess they had anywhere from 5 to 10 cafes right around in one little spot. But where Texas and them would play, they'd get right there on Central Track and play. Well, here's the track sitting here, and the business is all on that side on the sidewalk, and the people be ganged up there, and they be sitting right out there in the middle of the track. So the train never did come down there about once a week, and they'd be switching then, and you know, all they ever come down there, and they'd just sit right out in the middle of the track. Sight to see. 42 was the last I saw at Texas Alexander. Went to the Texas School Service Station on Swiss Street.
Was that a pretty rough district?
Oh, yeah, they called that place at the time. I went down there, my cousin told me, he says, don't go down there. I said, why? He says, that's what you call the butcher pen. That was a rough place. But I found out down in there, it was rough, but if you knew your associate and tended your business, why, you didn't get mixed up. But the minute you got off from somebody you didn't know, that's when trouble started. Those guys down there, you could find anything practically you want. If you were looking for trouble, you could find it. And if you wasn't looking for it, you could find it. But the average time, if a guy knew you, they wouldn't bother you, you know? Answer that for me, Mr.